BSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor. Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, continues with me. And we're very pleased to be joined by our colleague, Yossi Cooper-Vasser, who served as the head of the Research Division in the Israel Defense Force Military Intelligence Division, also as Director General of the Israel Ministry of Strategic Affairs. He's now an intelligence and security expert. Yossi, I go to the North, the War of the North, for a long time, and is it here? Is Hezbollah the War of the North? Can Hezbollah be permitted to maintain its patrols along the Israeli-Lebanon border, or must they be pushed back before the war ends? Good evening to you.
It's, the situation in the North is critical, and we all see that the escalation goes on and on. And that's why we should not let Hezbollah keep its deployment south of the Litani near the border, because it's an imminent threat for everybody who's going to live there. We had to evacuate 60,000 people from villages along the border because of this threat, and these villages and others beyond the border itself were hit by Hezbollah's ongoing terror attacks. And that's clearly not a situation that can be sustainable from an Israeli point of view. So this has to change in one way or another. How is it going to change? I think, first of all, we have to finish the job in Gaza so that we shall approach this situation in the North from a position of strength, clear strength. We have to defeat Hezbollah, defeat Hamas before we handle Hezbollah the way we need to do in order to establish a new situation in the North. And I hope that that after we defeat Hamas, we shall be able to reach a diplomatic solution, because Hezbollah would not like to have the same fate of Hamas. And that would enable us to reach some sort of diplomatic solution that would push Hezbollah farther from the border. Right now, of course, they refuse to accept it.
Right.
And that's why the diplomatic efforts fail again and again.
Now, but if
the diplomatic efforts are not going to be successful in the future too, we should probably have to do something militarily.
Go ahead, Malcolm.
Now, let me ask you about the equivalent in terms of Gaza, where there are negotiations. Do you see a potential ceasefire deal that can meet Israel's security needs, or how do they navigate to ensure that the fundamental security concerns, and especially regarding Iranian influence and support for Hamas, are addressed?
Well, the chances of dealing with Hamas and releasing the hostages are growing by the day, because we put more and more military pressure on them, and they are losing a lot of people and suffering heavily, and that's why they are ready to move towards some sort of a deal that is more acceptable by Israel than their original positions. And the fact that we operated in Rafah and took control of the Philadelphia corridor separating Gaza from Egypt is, of course, having an impact on their ability to stick to their original positions, Hamas positions. And I think this is important. We have to put more and more military pressure, and this will eventually, in my mind, will help reaching an agreement that would allow us to bring some of the hostages, at least back, under our conditions, that we shall not promise Hamas that this is the end of the war. And we have to be clear to Hamas that we are not going to stop short of defeating them and removing them from power. This is where their interest in using the hostages in order to stay alive is going to grow.
Philadelphia route, the tunnels underneath the Philadelphia route. I've been told that some or many of the tunnels are large enough to drive vehicles through, one, even two lanes. Is Egypt going to cooperate in securing the Sinai after the conflict ends? Will Sisi cooperate with Israel to make sure those tunnels don't get reopened?
Well, this is a very difficult question, because if you look at the past, he did not cooperate enough. They didn't manage to block the border, and weapons were coming in. Just look at the amounts of weapons we found in Gaza. It's unbelievable. So this was, as you said, these were not tunnels. These were highways underneath the border. We are trying to have an ongoing contact with the Egyptians about the future. And the impression we get is that there is a possibility that the Egyptians are going to behave differently after the war than they did before the war. Because if they don't, the next war is going to be such in which the Palestinians are going to leave Gaza and move into Egypt. And this is exactly what Egypt wants to prevent from happening. So I believe that we have here leverage on the Egyptians to change their attitude and do more in order to prevent smuggling of weapons into Gaza. But this is exactly the issue that has been discussed with them. I hope that they will be ready to build an underground wall that's going to be effective in preventing those tunnels from being dug again. And that's extremely important. Anyhow, for the foreseeable future, we shall need to stay in the Philadelphia corridor and keep destroying the existing tunnels. We are not. We are trying actually to keep this issue in a low profile because we don't want to embarrass the Egyptians. But everybody knows what happened underneath this border, and not only underneath it, also above it, Right. Especially through the Rafah crossing. So we shall not be willing to allow Hamas to mend the northern part of the Rafah crossing in any eventuality, and this should be clear for everybody.
Malcolm?
Do you think that there is something that can be done, given Iran's advancement in the production of ballistic missiles, its nuclear program, clearly its ring of fire with the Houthis and the Hamas and Hezbollah? What do you see as a response by Israel, by the region, to contain it? Does it depend on what the U.S. does and the Europeans do? Is their relationship with Russia and China at least a stimulus to others to take harsher action?
Well, of course, everything is interrelated. And we have to, first of all, our mission is to first and foremost deal with Hamas and defeat Hamas and remove it from power. This is going to be a heavy blow for Iran and for the axis of proxies that it has. On top of that, any progress towards normalization with Saudi Arabia and strengthening the Abraham Accords is going to be seen as a weakness for Iran. And on top of that, we should work more harder on isolating Iran, which is not being done. And then here we need the international community, especially the United States, to join hands in isolating Iran and also clarifying to the Iranians that there is a credible military option to deal with their nuclear project, because they're so close to breaking out towards a weapon that we need to clarify to them that the military option exists and it's credible. And in a way, what happened in April should be used for that purpose, because what we saw in April is, on the one hand, was how dangerous Iran is, but on the other hand, that they have a wrong perception about how strong they are, because we managed, together with the United States and others, to foil their attack on us, and how vulnerable they are, because we managed, in spite of all their efforts to defend themselves, we managed to hit targets in Iran that were very important for the regime. So I think we should use this isolation and rebuilding the economic pressure, putting again the sanctions, and with the American leadership, show the Iranians that there is a credible military option in order to stop their march towards the weapon, while defeating Hamas and weakening the ring of fire that they've built around us.
Yossi,
that's what needs to be done, my man,
Yossi,
in the short term.
Yossi Cooper Wasser, an Israeli intelligence and security expert. Malcolm Holmline, I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,